The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Bill Plaske, Woody Page, Sarah Spain, Kevin Blackstone, the professor. It's officially the best week in sports where we break down the brackets, you know, the whole thing, Cinderella, the snub. Nothing can stop the NCAA tournament machine except this guy and this guy. They get together, they upend the entire sports world with breaking news. Let's go. I think it looks like Tony Reale and Woody Page, to be honest with you.
Frank, I love New York. Did I ever tell you that, buddy?
Wow, pandering already.
Did I ever tell you that?
All right, welcome back to the show. I'm Frank Isola, filling in for Tony Reale, who took a few days off to break down the analytics, create the perfect bracket. Good luck with that. But we'll get to the brackets in a minute. But first, Tom Brady is back, and all it took was 2 weeks with his family and talking to Cristiano Ronaldo in Manchester. How did this guy scoop every sports writer in America? Brady will return to the Bucs for his 23rd NFL season and his 45th on planet Earth. How about that? Last year, he led the league in passing, touchdowns, and came a Cooper Cup short of another Super Bowl. Bill, you know something about Super Bowls. Do you think the Bucs can pick
yes,
up
sir.
Where they left off when Tom Brady retired for a couple minutes and now he's back?
I don't think so. I think he might have wanted to go back to the 49ers. I'm glad he's going back,
right.
But he may be going to the wrong team. The Bucs have already lost two offensive linemen, one to retirement and one to a free agency. They have four key defensive players who are free agents. And Brady will be 45, the oldest starting quarterback in NFL history. With a team, it'll be more of a piecemeal team around him. I don't think they'll be the same team, and I'm not so sure he's not going to regret coming back to the Bucs.
No, age shouldn't matter. Come on, Bill. We all know that. Woody, Tom Brady back with Tampa Bay. What do you think?
Well, I find it interesting that when he left the game, gasoline was less than $4 a gallon. Now look at it. I would just say this, and Bill was kind of touching upon it. There were 21 free agents that were available out there this week, and they've already signed a couple who have agreed to come back. However, there's still like 9 or 10 key guys that may not be on the team that he quarterbacked last year. So I'd be concerned about that. But I found out over the years, being with a family is overrated. He's decided he'd rather be in the clubhouse and in the locker room than really at home doing Etch-a-Sketch. So I think that, it's fine. I think it makes football a better game to have Tom Brady a part of it.
Yeah, my family's watching, so I can't give you points for saying family's overrated. Sorry, Woody. Sarah, Tom Brady's back. You thought it was going to happen, so what do you think about the move?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people talked about the family. I think the best line was my friend Elika Sadeyu said it was like Albert Brooks' living funeral on this season of Curb. He was like still
jokes.
Alive while we talked about him leaving. We knew he was coming back. It felt kind of silly the whole time. I agree that this is a very difficult Bucs team, and some of the guys that they had focused and prioritized bringing back, one of them's already gone. Alex Kappa just signed to leave and go protect Joe Burrow and play for the Bengals. So you don't know what Gronk's going to do. And even if Gronk is back, he's a big hit guy. He's not a every down wide receiver that you can count on the same way anymore. So all those pieces have to come together. The hope has to be that some guys want to go play with Tom Brady and want to take a shot at a title in his last couple years and are willing to maybe take a pay cut because they've got salary cap issues bringing everybody back.
All right, Kevin, you're in a town that could really use a quarterback. What about Tom Brady back with Tampa Bay?
Oh, you don't consider Carson Wentz a quarterback? Come on, what are you talking about? Look, Sarah's absolutely right. The difference here is Tom Brady is what makes the Buccaneers go. We didn't expect them to become a Super Bowl winner when he went there, and they became that, and they were just a few plays away from maybe getting back a year ago. People are going to want to play with Tom Brady. And I'll give you the other two numbers that I think are most important here. Tom Brady in 17 games last year was the least sacked, least hit quarterback in the league. So this guy can remain healthy. He can remain upright. And if that happens, all the magic comes back. So I think this is a great move for Tom Brady, if in fact he decided he didn't want to be retired, and a great move for the
Bucs. Bill Plaschke, when you were writing your Super Bowl column, did you think Tom Brady would be back with Tampa Bay and Aaron Rodgers would be in Green Bay? Be honest now.
No, I didn't think so. I didn't think either one of them. But KB, you're talking about him being upright behind the offensive line. Remember, they've lost. We've even said this on the show already. They've lost two offensive linemen already. So there's a chance of more. That's not a good sign for him. And the last team he played, he lost to the Rams. The Rams aren't going anywhere, TB. They're still here.
All right, let's move on. All right, now to the NBA. And how about this weekend for the Nets? Now, follow the bouncing ball here. Kyrie Irving allowed to sit courtside without a mask at Barclays for the ACC championship game Saturday night, where he's not allowed to play for the home team. The next day, the Nets are hosting the Knicks, and Kyrie's back sitting courtside, where he had to buy his own ticket. Now, he does have season tickets to the game. And he saw Kevin Durant drop 53, and then Kevin Durant took a shot, pun intended, at the mayor in his postgame comments.
Everybody out here looking for attention, and that's when I feel like the mayor wants right now, some attention, you know. But he'll figure it out soon. He better.
All right, so Kevin from PG County, what do you think of what Kevin from PG County just said there?
Exactly. You know, I love my boy PGFL like no other. But I got to say, you should have been reading the papers. Maybe you would find out what's going on. It says right here, employers may not allow an unvaccinated employee to report to their physical workplace unless they have requested and received an accommodation. So apparently, Kyrie not being vaccinated fits into that category. It's very simple. Those are the rules. Now, does it look right with him sitting in the arena with his team playing and people not wearing masks? No, but that doesn't matter because that is not the rule. So stop pointing the finger at the new mayor,
Eric Adams,
who pointed this all out just 2 weeks ago, made it very clear right then, Kyrie Irving will not be impacted by this.
Okay, all right, but Sarah, let's think about this now. He can't play, but he could be at the game, and on Wednesday they play Dallas, and if Dallas has an unvaccinated player, that person can play in the game, but Kyrie Irving can't. Can't you see this is where the confusion comes in?
Of course. It's especially difficult when you have a public job where thousands of people attend your work. But there were 1,400-plus municipal employees of New York City last month that were fired for their jobs for not getting vaccinated. You can't make an exception for Kyrie because he plays basketball. And honestly, it's embarrassing that Kevin Durant and others would try to make a public fuss about it, forgetting the fact that the mandates and the vaccinations are the reason that we are in a position for people to be attending these games maskless and for people to be trying to move on from the pandemic. It's not over, and it could come back if we don't continue to impress upon people the importance of taking into account the needs of others and things like vaccinations. It's actually quite simple. Get vaccinated and you can play.
Woody Page, what do you think about what Kevin Durant said?
Well, he was talking about the mayor trying to get attention. Frank, you're in New York. Did it look like to you that Kyrie was trying to get attention? I'm not talking about a guy that showed up in the darkness of Madison Square Garden before the game. He came in the middle of the first quarter. And Durant himself turned to a teammate and said, "What is this about? Why is he showing up now?" So they were confused about him. I think the entire weekend was confusing there because of him showing up when he did. But he was trying to attract attention, going over to the owner, shaking hands, kind of going through the crowd. He actually wasn't just coming to a game. He was trying to say, put the focus on me.
Bill, LeBron James sent out a tweet supporting Kyrie Irving. He said it's ridiculous that he can't play, that he could attend the game but can't play in it. What'd you make of this whole thing?
Well, a lot of it is ridiculous, but it's the law. It's the rule. We've been living with 2 years of loopholes. Kyrie has to learn to live with this. I thought he was being very selfish, like what he said, in showing up at the game, rubbing their face in it. They're not going to change the law for one guy. And besides, the fact that once he plays, don't forget, the Nets are just 7-11 with him on the court. Hasn't been that big of an impact anyway. It's not been a good year for Kyrie Irving.
Sarah, do you think there's any chance Kyrie Irving plays in home games during the playoffs? It could be against your Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, I still think there's a possibility that they change the mandate, but it would be citywide for all employees. It would not be for Kyrie.
All right, that's going to do it. Round one. And how about the guy who brought Tom Brady's last touchdown football? Was up for auction this weekend. Went for over $500,000. Talk about buyer's remorse. We'll be back.
How about the guy who sold it to him?
And buy or sell.
I sold it to him right on time. Inside information?
He might be able to get $5 for it now.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
All right, finally, bracket talk. On the men's side, we have the number ones we mostly expected. Gonzaga, Arizona, Kansas, and Baylor. The twos, Duke, Kentucky, Villanova, and Auburn. Woody, maybe you thought Tennessee deserved the number two after winning the SEC this weekend.
Number one.
I did. But let's talk about which of the ones or twos had the easiest road to the Final Four. Bill, who has the best road?
Rock Chalk Jayhawk. Kansas's odds from Vegas actually improved once they got seated in the Midwest, which is kind of a mess. Auburn's in a little bit of turmoil. LSU doesn't have a head coach. Iowa and Wisconsin aren't athletic enough. Kansas has a really streamlined trip right to the Final Four.
Woody, what do you got?
No, obviously it's Gonzaga, the number one overall seed. They're playing close at home. They're back where they belong, and they're playing in a bracket that's got a bunch of states. Boise State, New Mexico State, Michigan State, and Duke. They'll go through it. They won't play a game until they play Duke.
I'm in a catatonic state. Sarah Spain.
Yeah, that's an interesting approach to go by the names of the teams instead of acknowledging that Gonzaga has lost to two of the teams in that region this season. That seems a little more important. It's clearly Kansas. Not only have the title odds gotten better, they have the most wins against Quad 1 teams in the nation, and the three best teams in their region have struggled of late. Auburn, Wisconsin, Providence, all limping in. It's Kansas.
You were talking about Woody being in a state of confusion. Kevin Blackstone, what do you got?
Yeah, I'd have to agree it's Kansas, too, and I think even Bill Self kind of agreed with that. Someone asked him what he thought about his seeding, and he said he usually doesn't like his seedings, but he's not going to argue with this particular one. He's got a great road going ahead.
All right, Woody, I know you want back in. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, really, you are dismissing the best team in the country and saying, oh, well, they lost to somebody, so they're going to have problems.
No, we're dismissing their path, which was the question. We weren't asked the favorite. We were asked who had the best path, and they don't.
Lady is right. All right, we can't have a tournament without upsets. Maybe you like the 11-seeded ACC champion Virginia Tech, or the 12-seed A-10 champion Richmond, or the 10-seeded Loyola Chicago Sister Jeans. But upsets can also be a 7-seeded two-loss Murray State lurking for Kentucky, or 9-seeded Creighton waiting for Kansas. All right, Woody, we're looking for an upset. I don't want 10, just give me one. What's gonna happen?
Just concentrate on one. Vermont, that's quite enough.
Catamounts.
The Catamounts actually playing Arkansas. Keep this in mind. They've only lost one game since December 7th. That was in overtime by 1 point. They average more than 40% from three-point line. They're one of the best defensive teams in the country. Arkansas is going to try and run them. That's not going to work against a team that in the conference finals won 39 points. The two previous tournament games were 32 and 39. They're going to beat Arkansas.
And guess what else? Vermont State. How about that? Sarah Spain.
I mentioned Providence. That's who I think could be upset by South Dakota State riding a 21-game win streak. Some of the best three-point shooting in the country. Providence just a 2.5-point favorite. That's incredible for those seeds. I think the Jackrabbits have a real good shot of shooting them out of the gym.
Highest seed they've ever been, Providence, as a number four. Kevin, upset. What do you got?
Well, I know Iowa won on that great bank shot at the in the final seconds, but you know what? I like the Richmond Spiders. Five super seniors on that team. Gilliard, 5'9", can fill it up. I just like the veteran team that they have, the fact that they're on a streak, too. I think they've won five or six in a row right now. Richmond Spiders will upset Iowa.
Many moons ago, remember Richmond with Kenny Atkinson beat Jim Boeheim in Syracuse. Absolutely. Bill, what do you have?
I can't believe, think about it, the ACC tournament champion is an 11 seed. Are you kidding me?
Virginia and the runner-up was two. That's strong. Even worse.
Virginia Tech was awful. They were awful earlier in the year. They're a veteran team that's gotten better. They're playing their best basketball. They'll beat Texas. That's a sucker bet. Take Virginia Tech.
All right. Meanwhile, on the ladies' side, the number ones are South Carolina, Stanford, Louisville, and NC State. NC State may have to play two-seeded UConn in the eights in Connecticut. That's not going to stop the UConn always gets favorite talk. The committee also set up a potential Aaliyah Boston, Caitlin Clark Elite Eight matchup. All right, Sarah, which team should be loving their position in the bracket and who maybe shouldn't be so happy?
Well, South Carolina, you mentioned that matchup. We would love to see Aaliyah Boston versus Caitlin Clark, but it's not as scary as you might think for a South Carolina team who can depend on great defense. I don't think Iowa's deep enough to actually compete. So they have the best path. South Carolina should feel great. You already mentioned it. The Gamecocks, you know, that's going to be great. But then you mentioned that UConn is sitting waiting in Bridgeport with a whole bunch of fans that are going to make NC State pay if they can make it to that matchup. So I'd be disappointed if I was the number one who had to go see UConn at home.
Kevin, what about the ladies' tournament?
Well, if I'm Louisville, I've got to be feeling really good because you get to hold on to that number one seed. I thought for sure Baylor would break through yesterday and grab that seed from them, but they didn't. And I think the most unlucky teams are the ones who've got to be most worried is everybody who's in the Spokane region, because that's where three of the five coaches who have won a national title are at right now. Vandermeer, Freeze, and Mulkey. That's got to be a tough region.
Bill Plaschke, who should be happy? Who shouldn't be oh so happy about the seeding in the ladies' bracket?
Stanford should be thrilled. Everybody ignores the Pac-12. They're the defending national champs, champions.
Right.
They have all the key players back. They'll get Texas there instead of Baylor. Stanford should be happy. Who should be unhappy is Iowa. And everybody talks about Iowa, South Carolina. Iowa might not beat Iowa State. They got to play Iowa State in the second or third round. Iowa State beat them during the season. Iowa was with a great team and a great star, Caitlin Clark, may not even get there.
Woody Page?
Bill, you talk so much about Stanford. ESPN didn't think much of Stanford. It was the only school they didn't send a camera to yesterday to show the players. But I'll tell you who's happy is UConn is thrilled to death about what eventually is going to happen with the number one team in the country. Who is upset? I totally disagree with you, Kevin. It's Louisville. They might be number one seed, but they're in a bracket with the University of Tennessee Volunteers. They don't want any part of that. So they would have hoped for a five seed somewhere else.
They want no part of Tennessee.
Meanwhile, nobody mentioned my favorite player, Haley Jones of Stanford. Meanwhile, you are all in on the Around the Horn Tournament Challenge. You at home can sign up and face off against this panel, these people right here, and all the other panelists, including me. Go to ESPN.com and find the tournament challenge page.
I've won it.
Winners will get the Around the Horn swag, and Tony will read your name on the air. How about that? So guess who could work on their bracket right now? That'd be Woody. That would be Sarah. Meanwhile, step up to the plate. A little East Coast, West Coast bracket challenge right here. In showdown.
Blackstone.
Coming up next.
I'm going to pass this class.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's showdown time between two big-time columnists. News today out of baseball. Fernando Tatis Jr., of the $340 million 14-year contract, has a fractured wrist and could miss 3 months. What does this do for the start of the MLB season, Bill? And can I challenge you not to mention the Dodgers in this answer?
Oh, this is really deadens it for San Diego. It really slows them down. They had a new manager, a new clubhouse culture, and it really you know clears the NL West out. It makes it really easy for. I can't help myself. The Dodgers win here.
Oh boy.
I'm sorry. Couldn't do it.
You gave him a warning. You know what it does? It just takes some of the spark out of the season here for the first couple of months. You remember when baseball came back from a previous labor shutdown, they had a guy like Ken Griffey Jr. to bring joy back to the game. Tatis is that kind of personality. Won't be there.
He brings a lot of joy, but the one problem, he is hurt an awful lot. Yeah. All right, baseball's hot stove firing like a quick order diner. These days, last night, the Twins trading Josh Donaldson and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who they had traded for the day before. They go to the Yankees for Gary Sanchez, goodbye to him and his catching, and Gino Urshela. KB, who won the trade?
Well, I think maybe in the long term it might be the Twins, but in the short term the Yankees get what they hope is another stud at third base defensively. Josh Donaldson hasn't been that lately, but I think they're hoping for that, and they get the pop with his bat.
Bill?
I think the Twins win the trade because they were trying to dump Donaldson's $42 million left on a salary. They got a usable piece in Sanchez. New Yorkers are thrilled to get rid of Sanchez, and the Twins probably won't play him. They'll probably trade him elsewhere, but they can use him to help rebuild. I think it works for the Twins.
Yankees up the middle. Their defense is so poor. Sanchez strikes out way too much as well. All right, NFL news of the weekend, Kirk Cousins. A one-year extension with the Vikings. When you get a chance, see how much money Kirk Cousins has made over his career. And Amari Cooper sent to Cleveland for a fifth-round pick. The Cowboys were going to release him anyway. Today, the Browns released Jarvis Landry. Remember, he wanted out. Better weekend for the Browns or the Cowboys, Bill?
Oh, better working for the Browns to get Cooper, a 27-year-old. Then he's had 5,000-yard seasons. I can't believe the Cowboys got rid of him. He was working so well with Dak. It's good news for the Browns.
Kevin?
You suggested it. I can't get past the fact that $231 million has gone into Kirk Cousins' pocket in his career as an NFL quarterback with four postseason appearances and one win. What are you talking about? $231 million.
Kevin, say that number again.
$231 million
career.
That's a Washington bias.
And no, well, all right, I'll give you a point then for that. And finally, wardrobe malfunctions of the weekend. You see this? The Grizzlies and Thunder both showing up wearing white. That's a big-time fashion faux pas. Until Memphis was sent back to change into blue. And then there was the Yale Bulldogs. Or are they the Bull Gods? Either a typo on their championship shirts or really a strong break. That's something that Sarah Spain used to say about Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. KB, who wore it worse?
Oh, you know, God works in mysterious ways. I got to go with Yale here, breaking through, getting into the tournament. My man Bez Mbinga out of Good Counsel High School, 13 points, 11 rebounds as a freshman. You got to love it.
Bill?
They ask you who wore it worse, Kevin. You answered who wore it best. Who wore it worse was the NBA. Ridiculous. They got to be able to get that game management better.
And, you know, that actually happened already to the Thunder this season. They had to change because they wore orange. The Hawks were wearing red. Bad. Damn. But I'll give Kevin for wardrobe. That's it.
Oh,
we got a winner. Kevin, take it away.
Thank you to my fellow Terp. Just want to give a shout out to something streaming on ESPN Plus tonight. Jerry Bembry's documentary on the 1997 Coppin State team that upset South Carolina in the opening of that tournament in 1997. Great story.
Played a lot of pickup hoops with Jerry Bembry. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you 23 and a half hour break. Ronaldo, three goals. Bang.